So I came across the story of a pastor who commented from the pulpit that he generally prepared his sermon in the time it took him to walk from the parsonage to the church. And the people were a little taken back by that, but here's what happened. Soon afterwards, the congregation bought him a new house 10 miles away. No further explanation. Last week, we started a two-part series titled The Power of a Team. And we learned last week that when you have a mission with a group of people, it brings a sense of unity and alignment. And that every team member, regardless of what part they play, is valued. And we also learned that you can do more with a group of people than you can individually or just with a small group of two or three. And so there's great power in the power of a team. So today we're going to talk about something called apprenticeship. Apprenticeship. It's when a person who is learning a trade, they learn it under someone else who's experienced and can help them become a skilled worker. So an apprentice is someone working under someone else, and they learn insights into that particular challenge or ability or skill. Now, teachers, when they start school or they're just out of college, will generally have a mentor. And so there's a mentor-student relationship even in the school system. Nurses usually start out under a mentor, and that person learns from the person that is more experienced. In our text today, we have a story about Jesus and his apprentices. It's from Matthew chapter 5, verses 1 and 2. It's in your notes. And I'd like for us to read together these two verses. When Jesus saw his ministry drawing huge crowds, he climbed a hillside. Those who were apprenticed to him, the committed, climbed with him. Arriving at a quiet place, he sat down and taught his climbing companions. Matthew chapter 5 and 6 and 7 is the Sermon on the Mount. It includes the Beatitudes that are very well known. But at the very beginning of this passage, we read these verses out of the Message that Jesus, who has 12 of his disciples with him, it says they came to a hillside. They climbed up. And it says he began to teach them. And he called them climbing companions. They were a team. Do you realize you need climbing companions in your life? These are people who do life's journey with you. You want to find people that are like-minded. They're committed, the word says. They had a focus. And it says, Jesus, they sat down and he taught his climbing companions, his team. And so today I want to talk about that. You and I need teammates, climbing companions in our lives, and especially in the ministries that we're a part of. So we found last week the definition of a team is this. It's a group of people coming together to achieve a common goal. Very simple. When you get a group of people aligned together, they can accomplish amazing, powerful things even in rural upstate New York. There's a sense of power that's released. I have a picture. We used it last week. I want to show it again. Surround yourself with those on the same mission as you. Now, there's pictures of Lion there, and they're focused. But let me tell you, When God's people gets laser focused on his will for your life and the community, great power is released. And I would suggest to you, you need climbing partners, climbing companions, climbing teammates in your mission in life, whatever you're doing, whether it's your personal life or a ministry that you're a part of in the church. So here's the big idea for the message this morning. It's this. It's in your notes. You and I need to develop other team members by mentoring them so he or she can mentor someone else. This is the blessing of multiplication. It's when you take one other person in your life, in your sphere of influence, and you spend time with him or her, and you develop them, you invest in them, you speak into their lives, you lift them up and raise them up, and they in turn will do the same to someone else going forward. That is the miracle and the blessing of multiplication. Now, let me say this. Everybody here wears two hats. The first hat is when you are a mentor to someone else. A mentor is someone who has skill and experience, and you share it with someone else that is not as far along in the journey. The other hat is when you and I are the apprentice. It's when somebody above us who has more experience in a certain area, they come into our life and we learn from them. So sometimes we are the mentor. We are the ones training someone else. Other times we are the ones being trained. We wore both hats at different times. The question this morning is this. So what does God say to us as a church family going forward? And here's my challenge, and I'll say it again at the end. Everyone here needs to find one person for the remainder of this year that you will be a mentor to help raise them up as a future leader. Every person. And so we'll talk more about that, but the challenge is you and I need to develop other people. Now, the question would be, what makes a good apprentice? If we're looking for people to pour into, I want to share with you three thoughts about what makes a good apprentice. Letter A in your notes. The first thing is, it's one who is committed. Now, notice with me in Matthew 1 and 2, it says, those who were apprenticed to Jesus, the committed, climbed with him. You know who you want to pour your life into? People who are on board or all in. It's very difficult to try and invest in people who aren't either with the same alignment as you or they're not committed at all. But Jesus had 12 disciples who were committed. Find a person in your sphere of influence, your life, your ministry, who's committed to the same mission as you. I came across a quote. You can't push anyone up the ladder unless he is willing to climb himself. So true, isn't it? Find somebody, an apprentice, someone that is less experienced, but someone God will lay on your heart, and you want them who are committed so that they can then become a part of expanding your work on your team. Letter B. The second thing is this. You want someone who is teachable. Someone who is teachable. I believe in Matthew 1 and 2, or 5, verses 1 and 2, the disciples were teachable in spirit. Isn't it true it's hard to teach people who aren't open to being taught? And maybe you could call them teenagers, or... Teachability is huge. And let me say, never lose your teachable spirit. There's always something to learn. Now, I came across a quote that I think some of you are going to really like, and I'll tell you why in a moment, but here it is. Be teachable, you're not always right. That's true, isn't it? Some of y'all are shaking your heads. Be teachable, you're not always right. Now, here's the part I think some of you are going to really like. I want you to turn to the person next to you, and I want you to tell them this. Be teachable, you're not always right. We got a couple over here hugging each other. Kind of like married couples and family members probably got the biggest kick out of that. But let me tell you, we are not always right, are we? We might think we are. A teachable spirit is one that God honors and will prosper in their development. And when you find a person who's committed, they're on board, they're on mission, and they're also teachable. They say, hey, I may know a few things, I don't know at all. Here's the third one. One who has potential. Potential. Now, a couple weeks ago, we talked about ICNU. Remember that? It's ICNU, but there's four letters, ICNU. And it's when you see something in someone else. I'll have Jake go to the next slide. When you see something in someone else, that's potential. It's something that they may not even see themselves. And you step into their life and it's gold. You want to pull it out of them. You want to develop them. You want to make their life count. You want to take them to a new level. You see potential in their life. Now, here's a quote. A mentor empowers a person to see a possible future and believe it can be obtained. Be the voice of life into someone else. Encourage them. Help them to believe in themselves. Empower them. Make a difference. You have that ability and that authority under God to do that to someone else. And the potential that the disciples had was limitless. And Jesus stepped into their life. And he called them forth, and he poured himself into their lives. I read that someone did a study of the New Testament, and they said that Jesus focused 3/4 of his time. It was 73% based on the stories of the scriptures. 73% on the 12 disciples. The other 27% he spent with the crowd and the people and others that came to him. But the insight is this. He spent his primary time with only 12 people. And he mentored them. And they in turn were raised up and his power was released through them. And they changed the world. So what makes a good apprentice? One who's committed. One who is teachable. And one who has potential. Now, in your notes, I want to share a couple examples with you of mentors and apprentices in the Bible. Moses mentored Joshua for probably 4 decades. In other words, Joshua was the assistant to Moses, and Moses spoke into his life. How about Elijah and Elisha? It's getting towards the end of Elijah's ministry, and Elisha is raised up. He wanted a double portion of God's Spirit. Naomi mentored Ruth. The older lady mentored the younger one, and she spoke life into Ruth's life. And then there was Paul, who mentored Timothy. It was a spiritual son, and he spoke into Timothy's life, and we find that God just did amazing things through him. The point is this. Who are you mentoring? Who are you investing in? One person. It could be more, but one person, I want you to think about who is that one person I can take time with to pour myself into. Now, I want to get this down to this level. Our level is the church, and I thought about the pancake team, and that's a teamwork deal. And there was mentors and apprentices, people learning. There's Operation Christmas Child. I mean, people step up and learn to do new things. There's soup on Tuesday nights. People that have done it for years, others may be new. There's the trustees. There's the stewards. There's 252 kids in XP3. There's Young at Heart. There's life groups. There's children and youth ministries. There's sound booth. There's all these different lanes to run in. But here's the point. Whatever lane you're involved with, who are you mentoring? Who are you pouring into? Who are you raising up as an apprentice that can become a leader who will in turn do the same with other people? That is the secret of multiplication in a church. Jack's been a part of the conference office for some time, and many churches in our conference are planting other churches. So what does that mean? It may take a group of 5 or 10 people from a certain area, and they start a new church in another town or another state, or even in somewhere in the world. It's the power of multiplication. And the more we begin to think like that and act like that, and it starts with doing it with one person. So your big challenge today is whatever ministry you're involved with, whatever you're passionate about, find one person. Mentor them. Bring them alongside. Pour into their life. And ask them to do this. When you're done with that person, have that person do it to someone else. Now, on the back side of your sermon listening guide, there's something called 5 Steps of Apprenticeship. It's from the book Hero Maker by Dave Ferguson. And this is somewhat of a teaching message this morning. And here's what I want to do. I want to put a tool in your toolbox. Something very practical that you can tuck away in your mind and heart, that as you journey forward, these 5 steps can help you be the mentor to an apprentice in your life. Now, I mentioned there's all these different areas of ministry, but this particular example, I want to do it in relation to life groups or small groups. We currently have about 6 life groups in our church, give or take, depending on how many step up. What we're challenged with is this. We have other people that want to join groups, but we need more leaders to lead them. And so the 6 groups could become 12 in the future if the leader finds one person in the group whom they can mentor as an apprentice, and in time they are released to become a leader for their own group. The 6 groups can become 9 and 12 and then 15, and it can go exponential when we continue to raise up leaders to become a leader of a group. So here's what I want to do. I want to walk through these 5 steps. They're very simple. And hopefully it'll give you insight or tools in your toolbox of how you can find one person and begin to mentor them for your particular sphere or lane of ministry. All right, here we go. Number 1. The first step is this. It's when I do it, the other person watches, and then we talk. What does that mean? The apprentice observes everything. They don't do a thing. They just observe. And when that happens in a group, afterwards, you discuss it with the apprentice and saying, what worked? What didn't, and what can we do to improve? So the apprentice is an observer in step number 1. Number 2, it's when I, the leader, I do it, I ask the apprentice then to help, and then we talk. So in the notes, it says, give the apprentice an opportunity to help lead part of the small group meeting, whether it be an icebreaker, prayer time, and then you talk about it afterwards. So step number 2 is when you allow the apprentice into your world and you give them a part of the particular ministry. All right, number 3. This is when the apprentice does it. I, as the leader, I can help, but then we talk. So we are releasing responsibility to the apprentice, but the leader still has a part to play in it, but the percentage of participation shifts. So number 3, the apprentice does it, I help out, and then we talk. And then number four, this is when the apprentice does it all, I watch, and then we talk about it. So this is when the apprentice would lead the entire small group meeting. And then afterwards, there'd be a debrief about the meeting, and the apprentice is now able to either take over that group or they start a new one. So the stair step process, 1, 2, 3, and 4, is allowing that person to gain experience in how to lead a small group. And then finally, number 5. This is when the apprentice has their own group and they let others watch them. Multiplication comes full circle. The apprentice now leads a new group and develops new apprentices themselves. I have to say that where I think we're at as a church, we have people that want to be a part of small groups, but the current 6 groups are like at their capacity. And what we need is more leaders. We need more people who will step up and say, okay, let me learn how to do this so that I can then start my own group. And 6 goes to 9, goes to 12, that goes to 15, when new people are raised up. 5 steps of apprenticeship. It's kind of neat. After the first service, there was somebody that I think came up to Jack. She came up to me too, and she says, you know, I feel like I need to do the sound booth. That's what they're drawn to. And different people have responded saying, you know what, I need to do this. Just show me how. Tell me how to do it. And so we want to get this flywheel started, so to speak, to gain momentum in different areas. Read with me 2 Timothy 2:2 in your notes. And the things you have heard me say in the presence of many witnesses, entrust to reliable men who will also be qualified to teach others. All right. There's a signal of some kind. So the point is, here's what this says. You and I need to be mentors to other people who are apprentices, and they in turn become a mentor to other people. And that is the principle of multiplication. I want to close with one slide, and it kind of summarizes it all. Here it is. Opportunities multiply as they are seized. They got to be seized. You're here today and you're saying, well, you know, what is God calling me to do? And the challenge of the message is this. It's very clear. Find one person beginning today, one person who God will bring to your mind in which you will go to them and seek to invest in their life. God will show that very clearly. And when you do that, you're going to seize the opportunity. You're going to say, hey, I want to take advantage of this tool in my toolbox to raise up other people. You know why? You need climbing companions. It's called the power of a team. It's called when you get a group of people together, amazing things happen. And the greater the number of people, the more powerful the movement can become. And so when we seize the opportunity, good things happen. God rewards that. And when that person gets raised up, they in turn become a mentor to someone else, and the multiplication continues. I said, as a church, I think that's where we're at. We need to think differently to multiply ourselves, to add climbing companions to our team. And you know what? Life is fun. It's enjoyable. It's meaningful when we have more people on the team who, like that group of lions, we're mission-minded and we're focused, and good things can happen. So we're going to close in prayer, and I want to tell you what we're going to pray. I'm going to ask God to bring to mind to everyone, one person, 2024 going forward, the next few months, that you will intentionally go to and say, you know what? I would like to spend some time together in discipleship or this sense of mentoring apprenticeship, and you intentionally will go to them to talk to them to see if it fits. You look for somebody who's committed, who's teachable, and who has potential. And you know what the end result is? The team gets expanded, and you have more climbing companions in your ministry and in your life. And may I suggest, when you do that, the fulfillment and the joy of serving goes higher and higher because you're expanding what God is doing in you and through you. Let's bow for prayer. In the quietness of this moment, just ask God right now, God, who's the one person you want me to go to today, to be a mentor to speak into their life, to equip them to do something maybe that you've been doing a long time so that you can expand your climbing companions? The second part is this. Make a decision after God brings that person to your mind that you will intentionally go after them. Just make a decision today, this moment. Say, you know what? I'm going to at least approach them to see where it goes. Multiply. Opportunities are multiplied when you seize the moment. Father, we just thank you this morning for the power of teamwork. I thank you for this amazing congregation and all that was done at the pancake tent on the fairgrounds. It was a huge effort. Some people prayed, some worked, some did different parts of it. We thank you for every person. And I pray now that everyone here and those watching online, whoever you brought to their mind, Lord, I pray that we will intentionally go after them and make a commitment to spend time with them, to mentor them, to walk them through these five steps so that my team, my climbing companions, my base of people I do ministry with will be expanded. Father, we offer ourselves to you this morning, praying that you will multiply and reproduce us as individuals in other people's lives to expand your kingdom. Go before us, be our God. And as Jesus led the 12 disciples and then released them for ministry, they changed the world. And may we follow in their footsteps. It's in your name we pray. Amen.